Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
You know, guys, I've been thinking about this game, and I know there's been a lot of talk. Did the Patriots put in 100% effort to win it? Or if they did, you know, why were they running the ball so much? I really think they thought going in they would be able to run the ball. And if they did that, they'd loosen up the defense, and then they'd be able to pass the ball with, you know, at least some semblance of protection for Brady. And I just think that they weren't able to do what they wanted to do. But I do think they went in trying to win the game.
I agree with that. I think there was enough on the line in terms of being the one instead of the two, that there was enough incentive there. And I also agree, and this is what I felt. I'm, you know, full disclosure here, that I thought the Patriots would be able to beat Miami virtually regardless of their game plan. As long as they went out there and played, you know, at a reasonable level, I thought they would be enough to wear down Miami and break their will. However, that didn't mean we're just going to only run in one half and only pass in the other. I thought that was a little bit curious.
Plus, how often have we seen them, maybe the first drive, try to establish the run? And then, well, that didn't work. Let's get back to throwing.
Right.
They never did that in this game. And even when they threw it, it was only to running backs. It wasn't even real Patriots passing plays. It was shovel passes. It was screens to running backs. So they should have been able to run the ball. On paper, Miami is not a very good run defense, and I see the logic in it. You run at some of those pass rushers to set things up, soften things up for later. But when the execution is so putrid, at some point, don't you have to adjust on the fly? As Bill likes to say, when the game declares itself, well, I think the game declared itself, you weren't going to run the ball down Miami's throat. You were going to have to throw at some point, and they didn't adjust to that quickly enough or successfully enough.
And, you know, we have the mantra, don't listen to what Bill says, look at what he does.
Right.
And what he's doing right now tells us that there is no confidence in this offensive line right now. You know, even when they did try to pass the ball, like you said, shovel pass, throwing deep downfield, you know, not the type of, you know, mid-range passes that we've seen in the past to whether it's Gronk or LaFell to kind of set things up to get into a favorable second or third down situation. And as a result, you saw them in a lot of third and longs where, you know, Miami was just pinning their ears back and Brady was just getting beaten.
Yeah, well, that's the part of it that I really found curious, because you're right. You know, look at what Bill does. And clearly he's telling you he doesn't have a ton of faith in the offensive line in its current state. So I don't think it's a thing, you know, that if that's a common perception, okay, I have no confidence in my offensive line, so I'm going to run it on 18 plays in a row or whatever it was there in the first half. That's not easy to do for a great offensive line, let alone one that's struggling. And then when you do that and you're banging your head against a wall and setting up those third and longs, now you're making the pass protection all that much more difficult because exactly what you said.
I mean, it's been literally almost 2 months since you've seen the Patriots offense. I'm not talking about the Patriots success on offense. I don't care if you're no longer scoring 35 points, if you're no longer having multiple 100-yard receivers. I'm talking about the principles in place that are the foundation of the Patriots offense. And, you know, everybody wants to talk about the injuries, but I thought it was next man up. You know, I thought we practiced throughout the year in different combinations with guys in different roles.
There does come a tipping point there.
I don't know that because I haven't seen them fail to run the Patriots offense. It's almost like they scrapped it when the injuries hit. Show me you can't do it the way you want to do it with the backups. Yeah. Prove it to me.
I get that Keyshawn Martin probably isn't going to make as many people miss after the catches as Edelman and Amendola do, but why not give him a chance to see if he can do it? I thought at least in the Jets game, he had 7 catches, I think, against New York. At least there was some effort to get the ball in the slot receiver's hands a little bit, which I think, as Andy said, is the principle of I think, the passing game.
Yeah.
Okay, Gronk, maybe you want to lower his repetitions in terms of the amount of times you're throwing him the ball. I get that to an extent. You certainly didn't protect him. He was out there the whole game. He was asked to protect an awful lot, and that's grinding work. If it was safe to just be up there blocking, then the offensive line wouldn't have so many injuries, right? So,
well, I will say,
I don't know exactly what the mindset is.
They've protected him by, in my opinion, not throwing over the middle. They've kept him from catching balls over the middle, except for when they needed to get into overtime against the Jets, when they were sort of on the line. Other than that, he's either been in pass protection or out wide catching sideline routes where he's not having safeties, linebackers, guys diving at his knees. I think that's a core part of the offense that'll need to return in the postseason, and I think they will. I think then it's, you know, we need you to make plays as you are as an all-pro tight end. But the other issue here, you know, we've spent all this time talking about the offense. This defense hasn't played very well the last couple weeks. The back end in particular, this pass defense that was such a good story, hasn't been very good. And This was a game, this was a flashback game to 3 or 4 years ago where we say, Ryan Tannehill's having a terrible year. How come he looked like a Pro Bowl passer against us? Yeah. This was a throwback game.
And Fred, this is another one I'll go full disclosure and I'll give you credit for. When we talked early in the season, you know, heading into the season, you talked about the pass rush maybe being able to cover up some stuff, and I was skeptical of that. That's exactly what's happened. The pass rush has been really good, and we've seen when they don't get pressure,
and they didn't.
They're in trouble, and they didn't really get much pressure on Sunday. They had a little. I thought they affected Tannehill on a few passes, but for the most part, I think he only got sacked once. He was able to make plays down the field against this secondary because I think, you know, maybe the Chandler Jones was part of that, but the pass rush was not as effective as it has been.
2 weeks to fix it.
I've been giving the game plan in Miami a little bit more thought, and as I give it a little bit more thought, I wonder why the Patriots didn't go all the way with this one. Treat it like a preseason game. And not saying that they weren't trying to win, I think they should absolutely have tried to win. I think there was a lot to be gained by getting the number one seed, but the preseason mentality that I'm talking about comes in the form of playing Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe Chris Harper, some young guys that can go out there and let it fly. They're playing as hard as they can. As Belichick often says, in the summer, it's really important to the guys who were on the field. It didn't look all that important to the guys who did play. Why not let the younger guys that haven't gotten the experience go out there and win the game? Really nice to see some of the guys behind the scenes in the Patriots organization get some attention this week during the bye. Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, Bob Quinn, all interviewing for various jobs around the league. Really interested to see how this pans out. It's, like I said, these guys are generally anonymous. You don't get to hear from them a lot. When Bill Belichick is in charge, it's usually his voice that we hear. Bob Quinn in line for the Detroit Lions general manager job. McDaniels is interviewing in Miami. You got Matt Patricia involved as well, both in Miami and in Cleveland. I know it's bad for the Patriots to lose these quality people, but when they work that hard behind the scenes and they have the success, it's nice to see them get rewarded. My last point this week is going to deal with wide receiver Brandon LaFell. I just can't understand how a guy that was that important, that much a part of the offense just 1 year ago, including in the playoffs, when he made big play after big play against Baltimore, against Seattle in the Super Bowl, is reduced to this. He can't seem to get open, and when he does, the Patriots don't seem to look his way. They send him deep down the field a lot. Those drive-starting kind of catches that he had so often last year have completely disappeared from the offense. I'll tell you, if Julian Edelman isn't back to form, I'm not sure where the passing game is going to come from, because right now, they are not getting enough from Brandon LaFell.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Different type of football now, you know. Everybody's fighting for the same thing.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week from the Patriots' last game of the season, if you want to call it a game. It wouldn't be a Patriots game without some kind of offensive pass interference. Here's a shot of that deep ball to Brandon LaFell, and it shows just how close LaFell came to catching it. And here's a shot of Steven Jackson's first touchdown as a Patriot.
Players' Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
This week we have Patriots wide receiver Keyshawn Martin, who has been a big part of the offense down the stretch of the season. How difficult is it to come to a new team midstream and sort of get involved as you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, but, I mean, when you've got the guys, you know, that we got in the locker room, you know, helping you out, you know, it makes it a lot easier, you know. So it's been an adjustment, you know, but, you know, I wouldn't have it anywhere else.
Well, you mentioned a couple of times the guys in the locker room. I imagine you're talking about Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, those kinds of veterans, Brandon LaFell. What specifically did they help you with? Was it just a matter of in the meetings, on film, on the field?
Everything, you know, the meetings, film, on the field, you know, anything, you know. You know, got a real unselfish group, and, you know, that's a good quality to have as a team.
Obviously, Patriots fans are very familiar with Coach O'Brien, and, you know, he was here for a while. Fiery competitor. What are the similarities between, you know, he and Coach Belichick?
Well, one thing, they're both really smart guys. You know, as far as, you know, personalities, I would say they're totally different. But, you know, those guys. But, you know, they're very smart, you know, just know the game. They just know the game, you know. That's probably one of the things.
How about this playoff situation now? You get a chance to, you know, sort of step it up a notch, and I imagine everybody in this locker room is pretty is excited about that opportunity. What do some of the veterans talk to you about, maybe the differences in stepping up and play?
Well, I mean, it's a different type of football now, you know. Everybody's fighting for the same thing, and, you know, it's a one-game season. So, I mean, we're going to be prepared and, you know, looking to move forward.
I'll give you the opportunity to blow off my last question. Any preferences for your opponent?
It doesn't matter.
The perfect Belichick answer.
No game to look at this week, so we're going to look at the Patriots, some self-scouting, New England. It's all about the injuries right now. First and foremost, Julian Edelman. The passing game has become non-existent since he went down with that broken foot against the Giants. Primarily a third down issue. Patriots are up near 50% third down conversions. Lately, it's been down near 20%, including a single conversion 2 weeks ago against the Jets. Will Edelman be healthy? We don't know. But will he inject some life on third down? He should. The other key injury on the offensive side of the ball, not named Tom Brady, is the guy who needs to protect number 12. Sebastian Vollmer, the left tackle, used to be the right tackle, is the key to the offensive line. Everything has gotten worse since Vollmer went down with that ankle injury. If Vollmer gets back out there in the divisional round, offensive line should be better, Brady should be better, scoring should be better. It's that simple. And then we turn our attention to the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. In the back end, that's about the safety position. We've seen Devin McCourty and Patrick Chung miss games 2 weeks ago, limp around in poor performances in the finale. But up front, it's about Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower. They sat out the finale, and the defense looked like it was missing two of their best players. Pass rush, Chandler Jones is much needed, and Dante Hightower is the key to the running game. Get healthy up front, and the rest should fall into place.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
They struggled at times over the year with Bill Belichick as the defensive leader.
Well, it's
Matt Patricia
well, as a
has
whole
become
for 15
a
years.
Yeah, because of the offense, because of Josh McDaniels
just
and Tom Brady.
Of the offense.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
The matchups for Wild Card Weekend are set, and if you're wondering what's going to happen, you've come to the right place. On Saturday, Kansas City and Houston kick things off. The Chiefs go on the road, and their defense takes care of the Texans 31-10. Then it's the Bengals hosting the Steelers. Neither team has been playing its best football of late, but most people will be choosing the Steelers. Well, they're wrong. It's the Bengals 41-34, winning at home. On Sunday, Seattle has a relatively easy time knocking off the Vikings in Minnesota, 35-17. And finally, surprise, surprise, Washington hosts Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and Kirk Cousins comes away with the win, 22-19. You like that? That means the Patriots will host the Bengals on Saturday, January 16th at 4:35 in the divisional round. And look for the Chiefs to be coming to Foxborough on the 24th for the AFC Championship. That's right. You heard it here first.
I wanted to make a mention of the Washington Redskins and their head coach, Jay Gruden, who I think made a career-saving decision early on that has definitely paid dividends. Kirk Cousins is a guy that not many people had a lot of respect for. He appeared to be a career backup, and he went with Cousins over Robert Griffin III, the fan favorite, the guy they invested so much in terms of draft picks, in terms of money, in terms of attention. They had basically the keys to the franchise were with this guy. Daniel Snyder loved him, and Gruden made a tough choice, went with the backup, and it's really panned out. Since the whole "you like that" has happened, Washington has turned into a formidable playoff team. Cousins is a big reason why, and Jay Gruden's going to probably end up staying as a head coach because of that tough choice.
Did you get the good news late Monday night? It came out of Indianapolis, where Jim Irsay decided to shock the world, frankly, and keep his head coach With a four-year contract extension, Chuck Pagano is going to remain. And Ryan Grigson, his general manager, three-year extension for him. They'll be together with the Colts until 2019. The one problem is they've proven this year they can't work together. It was an absolute debacle. The rumors and the innuendo coming out of Indy were crazy. Grigson is a micromanager to the point that he writes the injury report. So Patriots fans, good news. Andrew Luck's a great quarterback, but his coach and his GM don't get along, and they have a crazy owner who kept the combo together.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
It's the bye week, and that means Patriots coordinators are drawing interest from other teams. Very simple, Paul Perillo. Which would be a bigger loss, Josh McDaniels or Matt Patricia?
Well, Josh McDaniels. Simple.
That's all you got?
No, I feel like...
Because I can go now. You know I like to talk.
I know, and I know you'll just start yelling at when I start talking anyway. That's what you do. But McDaniels, to me, is a bigger loss because I think that he has such a relationship with Tom Brady, and that's the most important element of the team, in my mind, is that relationship between McDaniels and Brady. And I understand that they've had different coordinators, Charlie Weiss, Bill O'Brien, McDaniels the first time. So I know that they'll be able to succeed, regardless of who the guy is. I know Brady is going to be fine, but... That relationship to me works, and I don't want to disrupt it.
It won't be easy. It won't be, you know, seamless, but Brian Daboll is ready to step right in as the offensive coordinator here. He's been here for a long time, been here before, and also been a coordinator in multiple NFL cities. Plenty of experience. Build the relationship with Brady. Boom, you're rolling. Defensively, I don't know who's next in line. I literally don't know who would be next in line. Bill Belichick would probably be the coordinator for a couple years, but I think that would be a tremendous loss. You're talking about a dozen years Matt Patricia has worked his way up to the point where he knows this defense as well as Bill Belichick. And guess what? It's just finally working. They're finally a top 10 defense. They have three first-time young Pro Bowlers. They're developing Butler and Collins and Hightower. That has all happened on Matt Patricia's watch.
And I do agree with you on one count, because I do think Daboll will be the guy. I think he's the coordinator in waiting, and I'm not sure who that guy. Maybe Patrick Graham on defense. But regardless, I think you would see what you said, is Belichick would probably serve as the coordinator for a year and wait. But I'm not as concerned because of Belichick. He is so talented. He's put all this together. He's done this before. He has been the guy, you know, sort of the pseudo defensive coordinator in the past when Eric Mangini left and he wasn't necessarily ready to hand the reins over. Patricia himself had to wait. So,
and what do all those have in common? It didn't work all that well. They struggled at times over the year with Bill Belichick as the defensive leader.
Well, it's worked
Matt
pretty
Patricia
well as a whole for 15 years.
Yeah, because of the offense, because of Josh McDaniels
not just
and Tom
because
Brady.
Of the offense.
Defensively, you're now a balanced team. You argued at that very seat a month ago or a month and a half ago
that this defense
was leading the team right late in the season. Well, why is that?
That
because
remains
Matt
the case.
Patricia has coached that unit up as well as anybody we've seen in 15 years here. He has developed young players. They're finally making plays. They're finally a complementary aspect of the team. And now you're just going to ship him out of town. That scares the hell out of me.
Let's not paint this out.
You're diminishing the loss.
Yeah, don't paint it out like that.
We got Bill.
I think Belichick is more well-versed on the defensive side than the offensive
side.
He has his hands in everything.
It's not just Bill that makes everything work. It takes some of the subordinates.
Well, you know what?
And Matt Patricia is the best defensive subordinate
when
that they've
they don't have success
since Romeo.
When they don't have success when Belichick is the coach, then I'll listen to Teddy Bruschi.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time for questions, but before that, it is mercifully the last Wilson Hart Power Index of the season.
It's a sad day. I might tear up a little bit.
I'm like Eli talking about Coughlin. It's over. Number one, Carolina Panthers took over the number one spot again by finishing 15-1. Bengals 2, Seattle Seahawks.
Bengals 2.
Seattle Seahawks 3, Cardinals 4, Chiefs 5. Your New England Patriots are the number 6 ranked team, down one spot again.
All right, well, hopefully the questions are better than the index.
All right, leading off is Sergio, and he says, rumor has it that the Bills will cut ties with Mario Williams this offseason. Is he someone that the Patriots should look at?
I think so. I mean,
I would.
at value. You know, he got his $100 million deal. He got his big contract as the number one overall pick. If he's looking to just maybe win now, which he hasn't experienced much in his career, and you have a Chandler Jones situation, maybe you're looking to replace with some veteran depth, he's been a very good football player. He was very good in Buffalo until Rex got there, and then they started using him in different ways. He was unhappy. But I still think he, when he's used as a traditional 4-3 defensive end, is a very good football player. Right value, I'll take him in a heartbeat.
Okay. But would he do that? Would he do that type of thing?
I think he would because of what Andy said. He's made the money, and it definitely falls in line with Belichick's philosophy. A lot of former first-round picks Belichick gives another chance to.
Make your money earlier in your career. You want to win. You come to New England.
Nathan says, have the referees been instructed by the league to call offensive pass interference simply any time the Patriots complete a long pass?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
question.
They have.
He's talking about the Martin call in the last game. How that it was a huge game, great catch, and upon replay, not even close to offensive pass interference.
Well, that specific play, I disagree with that characterization. Overall for the season, we talked about this on this segment a lot during the course of the year. The ones on Gronk, I think there have been some ticky-tack ones. Andy and I disagree on some of those. I think those are the ones that you want to let go. I think the one that was called on Martin in Miami is the one that I think as anybody that's watching defense would like to see that called. I think Brent Grimes was in pretty good position on that. And if there's no push there, there's no catch. And matter of fact, it's probably an interception.
He sold it very well.
Yeah, but I think that if there's no push, I think the ball is probably going to get intercepted is my point.
Gary writes in, where has Scott Chandler been? Chandler seems like almost a forgotten weapon.
This is one of those things to me that's a little bit strange. I think if you thought going into the year that this was going to be a return of the two tight end attack, the Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, then you're really disappointed. I'm a little disappointed, but not anywhere near so as a lot of the Patriots fans.
This is his way of saying he was right.
Oh, yeah,
he didn't expect that much from Chandler.
My point is, from the beginning, I
thought that Scott Chandler was a really good signing coming in, and he was a guy that would catch maybe 30 or 40 passes and maybe be a red zone threat, 6-7 touchdowns. He hasn't reached that, so I am disappointed. He's not been as good catching the football as I thought he would. He was not considered to be a very good blocker in Buffalo. He hasn't really proven to be that here. He's also dealt with some injuries, and I give him a lot of credit for that because at a time when a lot of guys were down, I think he gutted it through pretty well. Hasn't had a huge role, but I don't think it's been a train wreck like a lot of people have painted it out to be. I don't think he was Aaron Hernandez. That's not who he was. He wasn't capable of giving you that kind of production as a receiver, and a little bit disappointed, but not tremendously.
Every week, send your questions to AskPFW@Patriots.com.